we've often discussed on Woman's Hour why there are not more women on company boards, or why there are fewer women who head FTSE companies than men called John. But could the emphasis on women getting to the top, known as corporate feminism, be harming the prospects of those women more likely to be earning, say, 20,000 a year than a couple of million? Well, I'm joined by Penina Thompson, Chief Executive of the Mentoring Foundation. She joins us from Gloucester. And Eve Livingston, who's a freelance journalist, and she is in Glasgow. Eve, what exactly do you mean when you write about corporate feminism and its oppression of the majority of women?
Hi, Jenny. Well, I guess what I mean is a model of feminism that, rather than sort of challenging and questioning structures which don't sort of fit women or let women in, we sort of buy into those structures and make women fit them instead. So it's the kind of lean-in feminism of people like Sheryl Sandberg and Marissa Mayer. And I guess it manifests often as these sort of campaigns or feminist priorities of getting women onto corporate boards or into sort of leadership positions in banks and big businesses and things. And I think that oppresses women precisely because, as I said at the opening there, it doesn't challenge the structures for the reasons.
Well, it does challenge the structures, doesn't it? I mean, if women have not been acceptable on boards or as chief executive of companies, women breaking through are breaking through structures.
I mean, I guess in some ways, yes, those women are. But when you look at the types of women that kind of tend to get into leadership positions at these corporations or onto boards, they tend to be women who are very privileged already and who are kind of doing well in their careers anyway. And I think we need to look at why there are so many women pulled in low-paid or indeed sort of unpaid domestic work, and why they haven't managed to get into kind of higher-paid jobs and that kind of thing. And that's to do with the sort of uneven distribution of wealth. And so when we put women into these top positions in corporations, what I think we're doing is sort of changing the face of a system that is oppressive rather than challenging that system at its roots.
But Nina, how ready are you to accept that focus is a mistake?
Not particularly ready, I have to confess. When we wrote our first book, Women's Places in the Boardroom, back in 2005, the number of women directors on UK corporate boards was tiny, just 121, which is a little more than 10%. Now, in June this year, the number of women directors in FTSE 100 boards is 279, up to 26%. That's a huge achievement, and it's the result of a really concerted effort by UK businesses and successive governments, and by organisations like the Mentoring Foundation and many others, but above all by the women themselves. Now, this really matters, because seeing those women up there in those senior roles, first of all, they can influence policy and make structural change happen in the way that's just been described. And also because seeing able women take their place at the boardroom table, being active and involved and sharing in the strategic decision making, is an absolutely crucial motivator. And that inspires other women, not only women in the executive layer level on their path, if you like, but also younger women at an earlier stage in their career. They look at those senior women execs and think, well, maybe I can do that too.
So, Eve, what about the importance of getting women to the top as inspiring role models or as powerful women who can effect change on behalf of other women?
Well, I think the idea of role models is a really nice one in theory, but I think when you sort of look at the evidence, it becomes clear that putting women at the top of these boards and businesses doesn't really have a trickle-down effect in reality on women less privileged. So if you look at Norway, where they made a concerted effort to get women onto their boards, it didn't really translate into a sort of material difference for women across the country more generally. So they're still having conversations about very oppressive abortion laws, for instance. And even in that business sector, the number of women CEOs didn't really change. It was only the women on boards. And I think that any feminism that focuses on aspiration is one that puts the onus on individual women to be different, rather than looking at structural reasons why women are marginalised. So you're saying to women, you just need to want something enough, you just need to try a bit harder, you know, kind of dream big and you can do anything. And that's not true. in reality, because there are structural barriers in the way for women. And that's what we need to be challenging, rather than telling women to change to fit structures.
So, Penina, what evidence do you have that those women you were so proud of getting to those top jobs, what evidence is it that they have trickled down and they have made a difference to other women?
Well, we've been monitoring the outcomes of the FTSE 100 cross-company mentoring programme for 13 years. And we have longitudinal data that demonstrates that the women who have been through our mentoring programmes, not all chief executives, by very far from it, but senior women in executive positions, leadership roles in our large corporates, are indeed making progress and moving up through the ranks. I dispute the idea that that feminism that focuses on aspiration rather than structural issues is a secondary issue. I think we need both and, not either or.
Eve, we need both and, not either or.
Well, I think that's the thing. People will often say, why can't we focus on both women at the top end of the labour market and women at the bottom end? Which, again, I think is a nice idea.
But well, why actually, can't we?
Well, because I think there's a relationship between them, which is that when you put more women at the top, you're sort of creating more women at the bottom, because you're changing the gatekeepers of capitalism and these systems which work to sustain women's oppression. So, yeah, so there's a kind of, it's like a seesaw effect, I guess, where you're never going to quite be able to balance those things up. At a point, they become sort of mutually exclusive, because there's an uneven distribution of wealth in this country. So when we put women into these top positions to kind of take more than their fair share of that wealth, then it's women at the bottom who are struggling as a result.
Penina, your top women are taking too much of the money.
It's true that women working in financial services sector on the whole are earning more than women in other sectors, but there are issues there as well. There's the widest gender pay gap at 39.5% is in financial services. That's twice as much as the rest of the economy as a whole. I'd like to come back on the trickle-down effect and the idea that it's somehow nice to have women inspiring and motivating other women. I think the evidence that we saw yesterday of Michelle Obama's absolutely inspirational speech, which has galvanised people all across the US, the Twitterati are alive with responses to the positive and encouraging nature of her speech, demonstrates that there is a place for both and. Yes, indeed, we need structural change. That's why supporting the work of the Hampton-Alexander Review and promoting the participation of women in senior roles in UK companies is important. It's why encouraging the participation of companies in the government's Women in Finance Charter is absolutely essential, and also encouraging them to support the gender pay gap reporting legislation in 2017 is important. So those structural things, I completely agree with Eve, are vital. But it also means that it's important to sustain programmes like the FTSE 100 cross-company mentoring programme and other programmes that help both senior women and women further down in organisations benefit from the presence of senior women in top-level leadership roles to make change happen and to help other women get their foot upon the ladder so that they can get a start in building a career for themselves. I think change happens not only through structural, procedural, policy-related change, but also through the actions of individuals.
Eve, briefly, how impressed by Michelle Obama galvanising everyone?
Well, I think Michelle Obama's great, and I think there is a place for these sort of inspirational speeches. But I suppose what I'm trying to get at is, as a sort of campaign or a movement, feminism's priority, I think, needs to be on women who are less well off, rather than sort of getting more women into the top 1% or kind of into the millionaires club, if you like. So it's not just about kind of what women are doing, it's about what our priority as a feminist movement should be.
Eve Livingstone, Penina Thompson, thank you both very much indeed. And we would, of course, like to hear from you on this subject, or indeed anything that you hear on Woman's Hour.